I misplaced my puffer. So I'm gonna have to order me a new one. So if you hear me coughing, it's just my asthma. So boy, I'm all ready to preach. I got my message out and I'm ready to go. So we gotta sing first though, don't we?
Oh my.
Well, please remember Brother Kevin Kirkpatrick in your prayers. He's at home. His knee's bothering him again. And he had it replaced twice. Well, he had it replaced once, and then the unit broke. And then he had to get another one put in. And they're not sure if they're going to have to do something else again now. He's in a lot of pain, so please remember him. The doctors told him to stay off his leg and stay home for a little while from work. So please keep the whole family in prayer if you could. And continue to pray for Brother Newell and Sister Pat. And pray for Jason and Jerry. Keep them in your prayers too. And lift one another up. We need prayer, don't we? Each one of us. We may not tell each other that we need prayer, but there's always something to pray for, isn't there? Always someone to pray for. If you don't have anything to pray for about yourself, then pray for one of our church members, or pray for the messages as they go out, and pray for the church too. And so we always have quite a few things that we can give glory to God for. And wasn't that conference wonderful? I'll tell you. That was one of the most wonderful conferences I think we've had since I've been here. It was just to see everybody together too, and the unity within the body, and those messages that Donnie brought forth were just outstanding. Just outstanding. And it was good to reconnect with my dear brother. I hadn't connected with him for about, well, we hadn't seen each other in the flesh for about 8 years. And so that was too long. So I asked him to come up next year. He said, "What? Really?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And he said, "Yes." So we already got our first conference speaker for next year again. Be Brother Donnie. And Lord willing, we'll see if we'll have another one down the road too, to come up with him. And but just to let you know, I already invited him back. And I told him I wanted that to be the first of many, Lord willing, be the first of many visits. So it was just such a blessing. I just thought that everything was just amazing. And thank you, ladies, for all that you've done. And, you know, everything went so smoothly. And it was just incredible. And it was awesome. I know I'm going off, aren't I? Things like that, conferences make your pastor proud just to see the body at work in unity. It's just absolutely amazing. And that's the stuff that just really, yep, that's right, Rowan. That's right. So, even he agrees with us. Right? So, okay, let's sing our song here. We gotta sing At the Cross, number 129. We haven't sang that one for a while, so I thought it'd be a blessing for us to sing this song. 129, At the Cross. Let's stand up and sing to our great and glorious God.
Thank you.
Brother Travis has the reading today.
It's Psalm 148. Wonderful, wonderful psalm.
This psalm talks about praise to the Lord. And we were talking in Sunday school about the tongue, how the tongue can be so hurtful, but with God's deliverance to us to give praises to God, and the tongue can give praise to God. So let us do that. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heaven, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise ye the Lord from the earth, ye dragons in all depths. Fire and hail, snow and vapors, stormy winds fulfilling his word. Mountains and all the hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all the cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. Kings of the earth and all the people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heavens. He also exalteth the horns of his people and praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. Let us praise. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us this opportunity together. Thank you for putting into our hearts the desire to praise you, for you deserve our praise. We are so undeserving of everything that you do for us, and yet we sometimes are so ungrateful. So let us continue to praise you. Be with the pastor, give him the words and message you want us to have. Be with those that are unable to be here through sickness or whatever situation may be. Be with those that are traveling and provide them with safety. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Hosea. Hosea chapter 14. And we'll read the whole chapter, which is 9 verses in length. It is the closing words of the book of Hosea. In verses 4 to 9, we will see a cluster of the promises of God. And remember, beloved of God, that all the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ for we who are the people of God. And I want you to remember, too, who's speaking. The one who will be speaking these words is the Lord, Jehovah, the self-existent one, the one who inhabits eternity, the one who has had mercy on his people in Christ. Hosea chapter 14, verses 1 to 9. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, so we will render the calves of our lips. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods, for in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. And look what the Lord says here. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from them. What a promise. What a promise. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread and his beauty shall be as the olive tree and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. For me is thy fruit found. Who is wise, and he shall understand these things? Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them. But the transgressor shall fall therein. Today, we will consider the truth about the love of God. We will consider the truth about the love of God. Whom does our great God love? Name of the message is love freely. Well, we see the answer to the question I just asked in verse 4. He loves his people. And how does he love his people? Oh, beloved, he loves us freely. Look what it says. I will hear their backsliding. I will love them freely. Freely. Why? For my anger is turned away from him. God loves his people freely, and his anger is turned away from us. How can that be so? We're sinners, aren't we? All we deserve is the wrath of God. All we deserve is the righteous anger of God, don't we? In our natural state. That's what we deserve. But God tells us here that he loves his people freely. Now, God loving freely is the only suitable way that God can love us. Because God loves us based upon nothing inside us. Nothing we do, nothing we say, no actions, no works. Because there's nothing in us that would cause him to love us. Is there? So the scripture declares that he loves us freely, despite who we are. Isn't that incredible? None of us deserve this mercy. That's why you always hear me say we don't get what we deserve. We don't get what we deserve. Now, let us consider this word freely in the English dictionary. I looked it up. This word is defined in the English dictionary as not under the control of another. Not under the control of another. Well, what does that do when people say, well, God wants to save you, but he can unless you let him? If that was the situation, then God's under the control of a sinner, isn't he? But this scripture brings forth that he's not under the control of anyone. And it also says he's not under the control of another as one wishes. He's not at our beck and call. Now, for believers, he hears our prayers, doesn't he? And he answers our prayers. But if man thinks that God is up there just wringing his hands because we won't let him save him, they don't know the God of the Bible. because it says here that he loves us freely. And you know what else it means in English? Without restriction. There's nothing in us that would cause him to love us. Without restriction. So think of that. Think of how much he loves us without restriction. His love is boundless towards us. There's no restrictions on his love for us. He loves us freely without any cause in ourselves. And he loves us, beloved, without restriction. That's incredible. No restrictions at all. And it also says, or interference. Now that's a blessing. No one can interfere or cause him not to love his people, including us. Well, that sure goes against religion nowadays, doesn't it? Oh my. I love what Bruce Crabtree said, and I've held on to this. He said, we cannot mess up God's salvation. You know why? Because it's he who saves us, not we ourselves. And that's what this verse is bringing forth, that he loves us freely, unconditionally, no conditions within ourselves, unrestricted. Right? And no one can stop it. And God loves his people without restriction. He's chosen us in Christ, hasn't he? Before the foundation of the world. He did that. Freely. Without restriction and without condition. He didn't look down through time and see who would choose him. No. Because again, then that would be a cause within the sinner. But there was no cause for him to love us in us. He looked down through time and saw everyone dead in trespasses and sins. And he chose to have mercy on this person. And he chose to have mercy on this person. And on this person. Put your name in there. Isn't that incredible? So God's love for his people is without restriction. It all springs from the heart of God. All according to his mercy and grace, and it's not based upon anything in us. And he does not continue to love us because of anything we've done. He loves us with an eternal love, an unchanging love. Now that's incredible, because in this world, men and women can get married, and they can have a love, and then all of a sudden, in a few years later, they don't love each other, they say anymore. But you know, God never says that. He doesn't say, well, Wayne, you know, you blew it. 1,000 times a day, and I don't love you anymore. No. He doesn't. And the marvelous thing about it is our sins against him. And yet he still loves us as his people. You know why? Because his anger has been turned away. We saw that. Look at that verse again. I will hear their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him or her. God's wrath is turned away from his people. How? How can that be? Because God's wrath must be satisfied, right? It must be. How can it be that his anger, his righteous anger, and remember, this is righteous anger. This isn't man's anger. This is righteous anger without sin. How can that be turned away? By the death and the doing and the complete, perfect, sin-atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ in our place as our substitute. Absolutely wonderful. God says this, For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight, and thou hatest all the workers of iniquity. God hates the workers of iniquity.
You ever hear this? God loves everyone, but hates the sin. Well, not according to Scripture. It says in Psalm 5:5, "The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity." Someone's got it wrong, and it's not God. Right? Therefore, the only way to God, the only way for God to love us freely is in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're in Christ, from the foundation of the world, He loves you. Now, we don't know who those people are, so the gospel, we preach the gospel to everyone, right? God does the saving. But the call goes out to all. It's called the general call. It goes out. Flee to Christ. He's the only hope for sinners. And you know the one who makes it effectual? God the Holy Spirit, right? He's the one who makes it effectual, and He draws those who He's loved freely from before the foundation of the world, and He draws them to Christ and gives them, regenerates them and gives them faith and repentance before God. It's amazing. It really is amazing. It's absolutely incredible. Turn, if you would, to 1 John chapter 2. The Lord declares in that verse that we looked at there in Hosea, if His anger has been turned away from a certain people, His people. It says again, I'll read it again. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from Him. Now, every one of us broke God's law, and we did it willingly. And we know to offend in one point of the law is to break it all, right? We saw that in our study in the book of James. You offend in one point, you're guilty of all. So then what does that say about we humans? We're guilty of all. We broke every law of God, haven't we? We have. Someone says, well, I've never killed anyone, but you got angry with them in your mind, haven't you? And the Lord spiritualized that law and said, you've just killed your brother. My, oh my. So then it brings us, we're all guilty, aren't we? Every one of us. Look at this marvelous verse, though, in 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. I love this. I love this portion here. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate. Oh, we have an advocate, beloved. We have an advocate before God. Who is He? Well, look at His name. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He's the righteous one. He's the perfect one. He's the sinless one. And then it says, and He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world, all who would believe upon Him. Look at that. Propitiation there means to expiate, which means to extinguish the wrath of God. He's extinguished God's anger and wrath against us for our sins. That's why it says in that verse there, I will love them freely, for my anger is turned away from Him. You know why? Think of this, beloved. That which was due us, that wrath of God that was due us for our sins, we're the guilty ones, fell upon the sinless one, the one who's not guilty at all. That wrath of God for us fell upon Him. All the wrath for all my sins fell upon Him. And He bore it all. He paid for it all. So much so that God says, my anger is turned away from them. There is therefore now no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus, no judgment, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's good news, isn't it? That's shouting news. Makes you want to shout. Glory to God. What a Savior. What a Redeemer is Jesus Christ, my Lord. Now let's go back to our text and remember that this is the Lord Jesus Christ who's speaking here too. Remember, all that God says to man, He says through Christ. So when God's speaking in the Old Testament, it's the Word of God speaking. Remember that. It's the Word of God. When Moses was spoken to from the bush, it was the Word of God who spoke to him. When Moses was hidden in the cleft of the rock and God spoke to him on the mountain, it was the Word of God who spoke to him. Whenever you see the angel of the Lord, it's the Word of God. It's the Word before He became flesh. And all that God has to say to us, He says through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God, the Word, existed before He became a man. And so that's who's speaking here. Now think of this too. When He says, I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from them, He's speaking there as a righteous and just judge. But He's the very one who's turned the anger of God away from us. God Himself did that. God Himself did that. And He's not under control of anyone, is He? He does whatever He pleases. When the one who appeared to Abraham was the Word of God, what's called a Christophany in theological circles, it just means a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. So the one who spoke to Abraham, showed up with the two angels, was the Word of God. The one again who spoke to Moses in the burning bush is the Word of God. And how do we know that? Remember He said, before Abraham was, I am? He identified Himself as I am there, didn't He? Well, how did the voice identify Himself from the burning bush? I am that I am. Tell them, I am sent you. And then He says in John, I believe it's John chapter 8, before Abraham, at the end of the chapter, before Abraham was, I am. And those Jews picked up stones, they knew exactly what He was saying. They knew what He was saying. Oh my. The one who appeared to Joshua, remember? Remember the one who appeared to Joshua as a man just outfitted in armor with a sword in his hands? And he said, Joshua said, are you for us or against us? He said, nay, but as the captain of the Lord's host, I'm here. And Joshua fell. He was eating dirt, wasn't he, when he said that? He said, I'm the captain of the Lord's host. That's the Word of God. That's a Christophany of the Word of God. A pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. My. So that's who's speaking these words here. The Word of God speaking to Hosea. And oh, what wonderful words we see here. Let us just relish these words. I will love them freely, unconditionally, without restriction. Based upon nothing in them. That's what the Word of God says to us here. Why? Because His anger towards His people has been turned away, because their sins have been extinguished by the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, their sins have been bought and paid for, so much so that God says, I'll remember them no more. And the word freely means something given without money. Or without price. And I ask you, is our salvation not like that? You can't purchase it. No amount of money in the world will purchase our salvation. None. There's no price you can put on it. But it comes with a heavy cost, doesn't it? The death of the Lord Jesus Christ. The death of the righteous one in our place. Oh, everyone that thirsts, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. A man or a woman gives freely when they're hoping for nothing again. When you give something and you're hoping for nothing, that's giving freely. We don't ask for anything in return when we give freely, do we? We're not looking for anything in return. And then we find out we're more blessed to give than to receive. Well, God says, I love you freely. He says of his people, I love you. It's so clear there. I will. Now think of who's saying this. This is Jehovah. This is the word of God saying, I will. That's as good as done. Right? God doesn't lie. He doesn't say, I love them freely until they mess up. Well, no, we're in big trouble then, right? He says, I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. My, oh my. What a Savior. What a Redeemer is Jesus Christ our Lord. And God's love comes to we who are his people freely. He asks nothing in return. Now, religion says there's all kinds of things you got to do, right? You got to do this and you got to do that to be saved. There's a group out there that says you must be baptized to be saved. Oh, that's hogwash. That's what that is. Salvation's of the Lord, period. Right? It's of the Lord. It's unsought of by the receiver. It's unmerited by the receiver. We do not deserve it, and we can never pay the price demanded for it. We can't pay for one of our sins, let alone all our sins. And Christ Jesus paid the price that God demanded for all our sins. That's how valuable his blood is, and that's how valuable we are to him. Remember at Brother Richard's funeral when we looked at precious in the eyes of God is the death of his saints? That means valuable in the Hebrew. We're more valuable than the choicest gem in this world to God. That's how valuable we are. We're so valuable to God that the Word of God came to this earth and became a man and died in our room and place. That's how we're so valuable to God that he did that for you and I. That's amazing. That's amazing. And God loves his people freely in Christ. He does not accept our works as payment for our salvation. No, he loves his people freely without a cause in us. Without a cause in us. You know where the cause is found? In himself. Because he's pleased to do so. My, oh my. God says, I will. Look at this. I will. Let's look at this little verse again. It says, I will. I will. Now, when God says something, when he says, I will, nothing can alter that. Right? Nothing can alter. When God says, I will, nothing and no one can alter that. It's a fact. He says, I will. Love. This is the eternal love of God. This is a love unlike any love in this world. It's eternal. It comes from the one who is Jehovah. He says, I will love them. God's elect. God's elect. Chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. And then he says, freely, without a cause. I will love them freely, without a cause, without any cause in us, all because it pleased him to do so. And only in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. God has forgiven us for Christ's sake, and in Christ Jesus our Lord. So to give freely and to love freely is without enticement. It's to love without persuasion. We can't persuade God to love us. We can't cause him to love us. He loves us because it pleases him to do so. Just let that sink in. That's something that we can just roll around in our minds all week, can't we? It's incredible. This is what makes this promise so amazing. This is why God's love for his people is so amazing, because there is no cause in us, no merit in us, no deserving in us for this great love. And it's a great love. It's an eternal love. It's an eternal love. Now, we use the word freely when a favor is conferred without being sought after, such as the effect of God's love, because he has loved us freely. We are born again by the Spirit of God, by his power. And then we seek him. See, we don't seek him in our natural state. We seek him because we're born again of the Holy Spirit of God. And why are we born again of the Holy Spirit of God? Well, because Christ died for us. Why did Christ die for us? Because we were chosen by the Father in Christ before the foundation of the world. Goes right back to the source, doesn't it? The love of God. And he has loved us freely from eternity. I can't really wrap my mind around it. I'll be honest with you. That just make me fizz as I was putting this message together. You know, your brain says, it's just incredible. But it's true, isn't it? He says, I will. It's sure. That's God saying that. I will love them freely. My, oh my. I love my wife. I love my kids. And they love me. But this is God saying this to his people. I love them. The love I have for my family and even for you all doesn't compare to this love, does it? And God says, I love you without any conditions, without anything. There's no good in you, but I still love you. My! Again, this is what makes God's grace amazing. Christ has redeemed those he loved freely from eternity. Those the Father gave him. He loves them freely in our text. And because of this great love, God the Holy Spirit regenerates us. Grants us faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Gives us repentance before God. We never had any of that before the Lord saved us, did we? We didn't. We weren't repentant before God before he saved us. We didn't have faith in Christ. We didn't praise God with our lips before he saved us. But now we have a new heart. And as a result of being freely loved in this way, and because of the faith given to us, we trust our eternal souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. We rest and trust in him. We rest in his finished work. We rest in the one who redeemed us at Calvary's cross, who purchased our souls. And we also now clearly see that salvation's of the Lord, don't we? That it's a gift that he's given us, based upon nothing in us, just because he loves us. And he loves us freely. I love that, without restrictions. That means his love's unchanging. If there was restrictions on his love, we'd be in a heap of trouble, wouldn't we? But there's no restrictions on his love. What a Savior. The one true living God has loved us freely from eternity, we who are his people. His love has been set upon us from eternity. Before there was ever a world or angels, his love was set upon us, beloved. And it's never changed. That's amazing love. And he's loved us freely from eternity. Without condition. All the scripture says, here have mercy on whom here have mercy, right? and compassion on whom here have compassion. And he has loved his people freely, and he states that fact right here before us in our text. Our labor cannot get God to love us. Things we do, our works cannot get God to love us. No. No effort on our part will cause God to love us. No, he loves us freely despite ourselves, despite the fact that we're sinners. And he states that fact right here in this text. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. My. Do we deserve this love? Do we deserve this mercy? No. Amen, brothers. You said, nope. Nope. We don't deserve it at all. The fierceness of the wrath of God is what we deserve. That's what we deserve. We deserve the fierceness of the wrath of God. That's what we, by our sins, that's exactly what we deserve. But you know what? It's been turned away. It's been extinguished in Christ for his people. We sing that song, Shadow of a Great Rock. Right? He's our hiding place. We're hid in him. So think of a big rock in the desert, in the middle of a desert. When we sing that song, I always picture a huge rock, gigantic rock like you used to see in the Oregon coast. Huge rocks, immovable. The waves crash against it, that rock is still standing there. But I often think of in the desert in the Middle East, huge rock maybe. Right? And someone goes behind that and a huge sandstorm just comes flying against that rock. And that rock just gets beat on and 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 beat on. And the person's safe behind that rock. That's what Christ did for us. The wrath of God just for our sins fell upon the sinless one. That's what makes his word so great when he said, it is finished. God's anger has been turned away from us, beloved, because it fell upon our Savior in our place. Oh, what a Savior. What a Redeemer. He purchased our eternal souls. He extinguished the wrath of God against us. And therefore, we see in our text, I will love them freely and mine anger is turned away from them. What caused Christ to come to this world and die in our place? What caused him to suffer in our place? What moved him to satisfy God's law in our place? Well, we see it right here in our text. I have loved them freely. That's what caused him to come here. He said, I come to save my people from their sins. And he did it, didn't he? He did. But the motivation was this. I will love them freely. That's an eternal love set upon his people. And when God says, I will love them freely, no prayers, no tears, no good works by us, no almsgiving are an inducement to that love. Think of this. You know, there's nothing in us that would cause God to love us. You know why, too? Think of this. He loved us from eternity. We weren't even born. We hadn't even done anything. And he's loved us from then. In Christ. This is sovereign love, beloved. This is majestic, powerful, almighty love. And it proceeds from the heart of God. So let us marvel at this. God loves us because he chooses to love us. So we can therefore conclude that there's nothing in us that would attract God's love to us. Nothing in us. We're sinners from the top of our heads to the bottom of our feet. Where then is the origin of this love found? Well, turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. Where's the origin of this love found? Because God's love existed before there was ever a man, right? God's love for us existed before we ever were. Because we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. That means before the world was even created. As Spurgeon says, before there was angels or stars, before he created anything, he loved us. This love of God existed before there was any good in man to consider. Look at this in Romans chapter 9, verses 11 to 13. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. Look at that. The purpose of God according to election, not of works, not by anything we've done. This is before the children are even born. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. A vessel of honor and a vessel of dishonor. Right there before our eyes. And then look at Romans 9, 21 to 23. This is brought forth. Look at this. Hath not the potter power over the clay? You ask any potter if the clay has ever told them that they can't make them make that clay into something. They look at you like you're from outer space. Right? But yet man thinks that man reigns over God in salvation. Look what it says here. Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. Now that's God's word. That's not my opinion. You read these things to people sometimes and they say, well, I don't believe that. Well, then you don't believe the word of God. Your problem's not with me. Your problem's with the word of God. Because I delight in this. I'm amazed. I'm amazed that God has vessels of honor, vessels of mercy. And that I'm one of them. No cause in me to be a vessel of mercy. No cause in you to be a vessel of mercy. And yet God's people are vessels of mercy, prepared unto glory. When did he prepare that? When we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Well, some people say, well, that's not fair. I'll tell you what, I don't want fair. I do not want fair. Because fair would be every one of us is in hell. I praise God for his mercy. So the covenant of grace and the covenant of works, which we see in the Old Testament, the covenant of grace in the New Testament, the covenant of works in the Old Testament, are as far apart as the North Pole is from the South. The Old Covenant says, do this and live. The New Covenant says, look to Christ and live. Look to the one who's accomplished the work of salvation. And our living eternally as God's people is a result of God loving us from eternity, is a result of what this verse brings forth, the fact that he loves us freely. Because his anger has been turned away from us. Remember, Christ is the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That which came to pass in time is all planned and purposed by God in eternity. And we cannot stand before God on the grounds of our goodness, because there's none good, the scripture says. Right? We're all guilty before God. The law has found us all guilty. And if we have the love of God spread abroad in our hearts, then we have it freely from God. It's been given to us. It's been given to us. He is the origin of this love brought forth in this verse. God is the one who's loved us freely. And the love of God that's in our hearts for our brethren, the love that we have for our brethren, the love that we have for the gospel, the love that we have for Christ, all comes from Him. All comes from Him. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Scripture says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If God stands bargaining with man, saying, I will bless you if you do this, or if, then that love's not freely given then. Because it's conditioned on something they do. God's love is set forth in the Scripture to be greatly admired. Why? Because His ways are not our ways and His thoughts are not our thoughts. His thoughts are higher than the heavens, beloved. And His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. If God loved a man or a woman because of something in us, then there would be nothing commendable or wonderful about that love. Right? But the fact that He loves us, the fact that He loves us when there's absolutely nothing in us to deserve that love, this is wondrous love. This is wondrous love. The fact that He loves us freely, this makes God's love amazing. The fact that there's no cause in us, this makes God's love amazing. Remember, we love Him because He first loved us, right? When did He first love us? From before the foundation of the world in Christ, yeah. In eternity. So if there's something good in man, some virtue or any acceptable faith, then man ought to be loved by God. Or God would be unjust, right? But because, beloved, there's nothing great about loving a man, there's nothing great about loving a man because he deserves to be loved. There's nothing great about that. But for God to love a man who is bad, a man who's evil, from the top of my head to the bottom of my foot, for a man to love God like that, when there's every reason to hate him, that's wondrous love, isn't it? That's wondrous love. We're sinners from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. We're bad. We're evil. And yet God loves His people with an unchanging, unrestricted love. Oh! It's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing. Who made us to differ, beloved? God. Yeah. God made us to differ. He made us to differ. Who has He made us to differ in? The Lord Jesus Christ, right? Nothing in ourselves. We're just like everybody else in our natural state. And our text is telling us here that He loves us freely, without a cause, and it all originates in the heart of God. God the Father, remember? God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The three are one, right? God the Father loves us freely, God the Son loves us freely, and God the Holy Spirit loves us freely. They're all God. Oh my. Jehovah the Father, Jehovah the Son, the Word of God, and Jehovah the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, they all love us. Now let us consider the practical use of this wonderful promise here. This is a death blow to anyone who's trying to go about to establish their own righteousness. This is a death blow to anyone trying to make themselves acceptable before God by something they do. God will love us not for any merit in us, because we have no merit before God and Him. No, he loves his people freely. Again, there's nothing we can do that can make God love us. He loves us freely. And this promise, this doctrine that God loves his people freely, it gives us comfort, doesn't it? This is a comforting doctrine.